Good morning, all. The first case for argument is Dakai v. Holder. And Mr. Sharma Crawford, you're prepared to go forward.
I am, Your Honor. Thank you.
Welcome.
May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is William Sharma Crawford. I'm here on behalf of the petitioners. Here again on behalf of the petitioners. The petitioners entered the United States in 2000, filed an asylum claim in 2002, finally appeared in front of an immigration judge via televideo. They were physically present in Kansas City. The court that they responded to was in Chicago. The judge appeared on a televideo link between Kansas City and Chicago. And they were unrepresented. They were pro se. Their Albanian interpreter appeared on a telephone link through the televideo hookup, meaning that there was a speaker telephone in Chicago where this person spoke through and interpreted questions to them. This, throughout the transcript, caused a great deal of problem in communication. The judge in 2007 denied their case, finding them to be incredible and finding that they hadn't demonstrated past persecution. An appeal was taken to the Board of Immigration Appeals, pro se by the litigants. They properly filed a notice of appeal in that they filed it in the 30 days after the judge's decision, but indicated they failed to receive the notice of the briefing schedule. That's where it began to get a little messy. They received the government's response brief. That alerted them that they were due to have filed something. They obtained counsel who filed a late-filed brief, a request to accept that brief out of time, and then later filed a motion to amend the notice of appeal. The board denied that. An appeal was taken to this court. This court remanded for consideration based on MRA and CRC board cases that determined whether the reasonableness of the presumption of regular delivery of the mail could be overcome. The board issued a decision based solely on the facts in the brief that the board held to be in conjunction with the original notice of appeal, denied the case again, and an appeal was taken, and here we are again. The issues are a bit odd this time in the sense that prior to issuing the board's decision, the board issued an interim order in February of 2010, which indicated that it was rendering moot the motion to modify the notice of appeal because it was accepting the late-filed brief, which contained all the issues against the immigration judge. Now, this court's direction to the board was to follow to couch its decision based in the original notice of appeal, and that it was admonished to construe the pleadings of a pro se litigant liberally. The board upheld its position that the petitioner had stated a falsehood in their notice of appeal in that Ms. Dakaj did not get to testify, and construed that country conditions were properly noted to have been changed by the immigration judge, who relied on his memory of an Eighth Circuit case without looking at the current State Department country conditions or anything else to determine what the current political state of Albania was, other than it had an elected democratic president. Our position is twofold. One, that the mere election of a democratic president doesn't change local politics. Nothing could be more clear than that than the current state of affairs in the United States. And secondly, that the board should have considered either the petitioner's original notice of appeal liberally, in that the female respondent who was questioned for 8 pages of the transcript, not allowed to testify in the narrative, felt that she didn't get to testify and was not being untruthful in her notice of appeal, but was presenting it from her perspective, was that she didn't get to testify. And so to hold that against her is improper. Or secondarily, if the board struck as moot the notice of appeal, or the notice of modification to the notice of appeal, and accepted the brief, then it should have made a decision on all points of the brief. But we're left with a board decision which goes on and on that we didn't tell them why they should accept it, why they should have accepted our brief, but we had an order that was 3 months prior that said they were going to accept the brief. So the brief didn't contain issues as to why we should overcome this court's request that they view our argument within the confines of the original notice of appeal when they issued an interim order saying they were striking as moot the motion to modify the appeal, and we're accepting the brief in whole. So I'm a bit confused about the board's reading. The government seeks to argue in their brief that we should have somehow filed a proper motion to modify the notice of appeal, but we already had a board's order that struck the motion to modify the notice of appeal as moot. So I don't know how we would have more properly filed one when the board says it was accepting our brief. The country conditions in Albania are as tumultuous as they were in 1999. There's never been a proper analysis of what the country conditions are in Albania by anyone. Whether it's by factual analysis or simply by IJ recollection, that's the only piece that we have right now is the judge's decision of his holding in a prior decision wherein he was the immigration judge. He didn't refer to a country condition report. He didn't refer to any particular testimony, only that everyone agreed that Sali Berisha was the president of Albania. Beyond that, that was the only change in country conditions. As we indicated, the State Department reports that were in effect just after the time of trial or that were in effect for 2006 indicated that police corruption and violence and all of the things that the petitioners had testified to were still in effect.
They could have democratic elections and change parties without too much violence, I guess.
They do have democratic elections, none of which have passed muster by the European observers that are there. The European Union is upset about the current local elections that just occurred, and the socialists who are again on the rise are vowing violence in an effort to retake control of the country.
But doesn't the Democratic Party control in the area in which the petitioners are from?
It is likened as a democratic stronghold in the sense that that's the politics. But nothing has – that's the question. What does a democratic stronghold mean? This is – the metaphor that I came up with in anticipation of your question, Your Honor, is that if this is Chicago and this is where our president came from, are the police in Chicago not racist? And I don't know that we can all say that that's a correct statement, even though this is arguably a place in where the president of the United States gains his most support. So that corruption could occur on a political level in a city where there are politics of one stripe or another doesn't necessarily comport. And there is nothing in the evidence except that phrase, it's a democratic stronghold, that we've derived from some recollection of the IJ to support that.
You've got to show persecution, though.
He has. In 1991, he was shot in a demonstration. In 1998, he was assaulted by police after he was locked up. And in 2000, prior to departing, his house was shot at. And he believed that was all connected to his politics, notwithstanding the confusion over the fruit stand. The fruit stand takes up a great deal of time in the narrative as to where was it exactly. Was it across the road? Was it in front of his house? Did it get torn down? Did it get put up? Who told him to stop selling? The IJ has great difficulty with whether or not people who were dressed as police, or were they police, actually came and threatened him at his fruit stand, but yet we read narratives in Iraq where people dressed in Iraqi police uniforms perpetrate great acts of violence. Nobody ever questions whether they were actually Iraqi police or just people in uniform. That same analogy can be carried here. It's a factual and procedural mess, is what it is. And we're doing our best to unravel it, and we thought that was what we were doing when we filed the motion to modify the notice of appeal, was to lay out all of the issues in the original hearing and say these issues need to be reviewed. However, those issues have not yet been reviewed, despite what apparently was the board's acquiescence to accept that brief. Their sticking point that Ms. Dikaj was untruthful is what has blinded them to any other analysis. I see my lights on. If the court has no other questions, I'd reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Sharma Crawford. Ms. Luong?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, Sarah Vong on behalf of the government. In this case, the board complied with this court's remand order in interpreting the scope of the notice of appeal. This court stated that if the board accepted the late filed brief, then it should address the arguments it finds to be within the scope of the notice of appeal keeping in mind their pro se status. The court then told them that any arguments outside of the scope of that notice of appeal, the board should decide if they are a motion to amend the notice of appeal, and if so, whether that motion should be granted. Petitioners argue that the interim order stated that that the motion to amend the notice of appeal is moot. However, that was never raised in their brief. They argued instead that they had filed a motion to amend the notice of appeal. And petitioners were on notice that this court had remanded with explicit instructions to the board regarding the whole setup of how they should appeal and how they should file their brief and the arguments that were stated in the original notice of appeal. Petitioners did not make any argument to the board regarding the arguments outside the notice of appeal. They also knew that the board was concerned with the misrepresentations in the original notice of appeal that was filed.
I'm a little confused why the respondent filed a motion to remand, given what you're arguing now.
Well, the government can move to remand for a more thorough analysis if this court does not believe that the board did follow its instructions. Then it should be remanded to the board with explicit.
If we don't think the board did what they're supposed to do, is it?
Right.
It's conditional on that.
Yes, Your Honor. If you don't believe the board followed your instructions regarding the scope of the notice of appeal and whether or not arguments are within or without of that scope. As I was saying, petitioners were on notice that the board was concerned about the misrepresentations in the original notice of appeal. The first order of the board expressed displeasure with those statements. They could have very easily provided the explanation that Mrs. Dekaj did not have the opportunity to present all of her arguments before the immigration judge. And given the board some background for those statements, but they did not do that. Regarding the findings that the arguments were outside the scope of appeal, the board did not abuse its discretion in denying this motion. It used petitioners' previous misrepresentations. They entered the United States on fraudulent passports. It was an adverse credibility finding before the immigration judge. The board states that the documents in the record and the evidence provide a different story than what was testified to. And so the board did not abuse its discretion. Regarding those arguments that are within the scope of appeal, a substantial evidence does support the board's finding of changed country conditions in Albania. The documents in the record do show that there is a change in government. The Democratic Party is still in power. I believe in the record on 202 through 203, there's a litany of elections that have taken place. In 2000, the nationwide election, there were few instances of violence. The 2001 parliamentary elections were generally peaceful, on and on like this. So country conditions in Albania, while they may overall be poor, the documents in the record do not show that members of the Democratic Party or supporters of the Democratic Party are being persecuted specifically because they are members of the Democratic Party. In fact, the documents show that elections continue and that party members, they are hotly contested elections, but that the violence is not continuing. The immigration judge did not abuse his discretion. The board did not abuse its discretion. I'm sorry, no. Substantial evidence does support the board's finding that these country conditions have changed. And as noted earlier, there was not even a past persecution finding, so this was all kind of a prospective claim. If there was past persecution, it had been rebutted by the country conditions. Petitioners did not provide any evidence that would rebut the rebuttal of country conditions, that they would still be persecuted were they to return to Albania. Instead, they testified they did not know that Sali Berisha was that the Democratic Party was currently in power. They did know who Saleh Berisha was. They were not sure what would happen. They just thought maybe that people would still be after them. Finally, regarding those, the new documents submitted by the petitioners with their brief to the board, the petitioners did not move to remand. I know they stated that they never had an opportunity to present these documents. They could have moved for remand to send it back to the immigration judge for an analysis of country conditions. They're correct in citing case law from the circuit that State Department reports can be provided judicial notice. In this case, the State Department reports still do not show that Democratic Party supporters are persecuted. Again, they show that that petitioners...
Well, how about this shot that was fired? Is that an amount of persecution, or what status does it have?
Well, the board has not ruled on that. The board has not provided any analysis on the past persecution finding that was raised in the brief filed after the remand by this court, but the board has not provided any analysis. And if this court does decide to remand with explicit instructions that all arguments be considered, then that would be analyzed by the board at that point in time.
And the board didn't investigate whether they were persecuted or not?
No, Your Honor. Because the board determined that that argument was not within the scope of the notice of appeal, it did not address that argument.
Seems pretty fundamental to this kind of a claim, though, doesn't it?
Past persecution is fundamental to asylum, yes, Your Honor. However, following the instructions of looking at the arguments within the scope of the notice of appeal, and in that notice of appeal, petitioners stated that the immigration judge misstated facts about current conditions in Albania and that the immigration judge had not allowed Mrs. Dikaj to testify. It found that the argument regarding past persecution would not fall within those two statements. So if there are no more questions, in conclusion, the board did follow this court's instructions from the original remand, and it did not abuse its discretion in denying any motion to amend the notice of appeal. However, as noted, the motion to remand is still currently before this panel as well, and if you determine that the board did not follow your instructions, remand is appropriate for the limited purpose of the scope of the notice of appeal question. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Strong. Mr. Sharman Crawford?
Very briefly. I think I would just like to conclude by saying that construed liberally, the board, the current country conditions or the country conditions at the time of the hearing weren't factually determined. There was no evidence put forth, and certainly not by the government. The IJ made those determinations and made those findings. And secondly, Ms. Dikaj to this day, as of yesterday when I spoke to her on the phone, still feels like she didn't get to testify. She covered the same points that she wanted to say.
Why are you opposing a remand? I don't understand that.
Because the narrow grasp of the government's request for remand is to couch this back in the original notice of appeal. And our opinion is that it should be broadened for all consideration of all issues. So the opposition is not that the board should look at this. It is that the government wants to place us in a narrow stripe of the original notice of appeal, which we think should be broadened to all of the issues that we've raised that are wrong with the trial. I agree that the board should make a decision about all of the issues that we've raised, but not just within the narrow confines of the notice of appeal. And I see my time is out.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.